Okay. What's up, guys? It's the Awkward Dreadhead, and we have Chelsea here.
Hello.
Jamal.
What up?
Jessica.
Yep.
Ben, come on, man.
Hey.
Ryan.
What's up?
All right, so guys, we have a comment question, and we're going to discuss it. Okay. All right, gentrification has the power to displace low-income families, or more often prevent low-income families from moving into previously affordable neighborhoods. Does gentrification do more harm than good? I want to start with Ben because he's the racist.
Oh, fuck you too, Charles.
I'm just playing.
Like, I don't know. I think it definitely does more good than harm.
What? Gentrification is a slur. I didn't realize that people thought it was good.
Wait.
Why
you think it's a slur, Ryan?
Because you talk about somebody or something that's been gentrified, everybody thinks about it as worse. I don't know who actually thinks about it as better. I actually want you to finish what you were saying.
No, like, so. I just don't I've definitely heard people talking about it as making things worse. But it's always kind of used as a slur, but
I've never heard that.
When people go in and they make things like more expensive and stuff.
Technically,
streets are being filled.
Only time I've ever heard it used as a slur has been like hipsters, and that's why I don't take it seriously because you know. Hipsters.
Well, hipsters don't matter, but... Yeah.
I mean, hipsters cause gentrification.
Yeah, exactly, which is the irony.
Ryan, go ahead and... I'm actually curious to hear...
No, I want to hear what you guys are saying first.
Okay.
You're the one that said derogatory.
All you guys are literally disagreeing with me, or what?
I
don't know.
Give us your perspective, and then maybe I can speak off of that, because I've never heard like...
Everyone I've ever talked to, okay, has... talked about gentrification like it's eventually a poor thing for a neighborhood. You know what I mean? There's no logical
aspect.
In what?
In what aspect poor? What do you mean? Like it goes in there and
because it removes culture and imports artificial culture.
That's
like gentrification, people talk about Starbucks popping up in every corner. That's gentrification, right? Like you lose coffee shops, like independently owned coffee shops, and that's. Most people regard that as a bad thing.
Okay, so in what he's saying, I agree. There are some city plans where they go in and they keep building that's been there for a long time. Like I know that there's this one place downtown. It's like a boxing gym, and it's been there for like 30 years, and they're not gonna. Gentrify it or knock it down or anything like that. But they're also not going to give it money to rebuild itself and make it look respectable. It's going to be like an eyesore once you drive into that neighborhood or whatever like that.
Gentrification also is the cause for like economic strife in a lot of neighborhoods, right? Like cities like Austin, who were once a cultural hub, that have been importing, rich Californians, increasingly making it impossible to live there.
Yeah, but
and so you import California culture.
Yeah, but that's kind of the catch 22 of the whole thing is, you have neighborhoods that are very poor and run down, and as a result, the property values are low. Then you have people that are looking to kind of get their foot in the door. And, eventually those places can end up being, hubs for, artists and hipsters that move in. And then you get stores that come in to cater to those hipsters. And once those stores are there, then people are like, ooh, there's cool artsy stuff and stores to service this neighborhood. Well, I'm going to move in. And then more and more people keep moving around in. And then the hipsters turn around and start bitching. And... basically, it ends up being in a pissing match between the hipster artists, the people that want to live close to the hipsters,
and
the people that get forgotten are the people that lived there originally.
Hipsters are not moving the neighborhoods and destroying it, okay? Calm down, Ben.
That's what
people think gentrification is.
But Charles, you want to look locally. Look at Franklinton. Like, even, like, 5 years ago, there were, like, tons of, like, little art gatherings and shops around there. It was a complete dump. And those artists are still there, and that's what I think would, I would kind of say, attracted people to an area that they would have avoided completely otherwise.
Gentrification is kind of what Ryan said, where Starbucks are popping up, and, like, you know,
all these... Yeah, but
that's
just it, Charles. You need someone there that's going to shop at the Starbucks. So the hipsters come first, and then the Starbucks follow the hipsters.
I actually don't agree. I actually think that they put stores like that in there.
Nobody's dropping a Starbucks in North Linden right now.
They probably will, but they would
because it's considered to be an up and coming neighborhood. They're changing it. I've also having friends who have started different businesses and franchises, you know, people look for places that are up and coming. It's not always,
very true.
Oh, a whole bunch of people who like coffee and Starbucks, all these rich white people live here, let's put it there. It's, oh, all these young people are buying these houses to flip them, the neighborhood's changing, let's put this here, it will draw more.
And I guess I was wrong to say, call out just hipsters, because yeah, but that's the stereotype, but it's also, you know, like right now, property values in the entire country are ridiculously high. So if young people want to buy a house, they go into, you know, more rundown areas, buy and fix up houses, and that increases property values of the houses around them.
I want to say something real quick. Columbus does a lot to develop the city. Just because they're doing it doesn't mean other cities Atlanta's not doing
it. But I'm not talking about what Columbus as a city is doing. I'm saying if you are a young person, you can't afford a house in Dublin, the property values in, like, to use the example, North Linden, are much lower. And chances are they're so low that you can go in there, buy a house, and have money left over to fix it up. And the way property values work is once you fix up that one, it raises the values of all the houses around you. And as that starts rising, it starts pricing out the people that were there that can't afford the rents as they rise.
I want to jump off. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jamal.
I don't know. I lost it. I had it and you jumped in. And I lost it.
I want to start from where you kind of just ended. Like, how does it affect people? How does gentrification affect people? I want to, well, I'll go with you, Ben, and then I want to jump to Ryan about it.
Well, another place this, like, usually hits people is people that, you know, don't own where they live. So if you're renting and property values in the neighborhood start going up and the neighborhood starts becoming more desirable, chances are landlords are going to start increasing the rent, you know, because they can, and it starts pricing people out.
Ryan, do you have anything to say to that?
I mean, that's like the definition of gentrification. So. I don't know how to debate that.
I think gentrification, 80% of gentrification happens in cities. Because everybody's so close together, and you have good neighborhoods and bad neighborhoods, and people don't mind living in certain neighborhoods. So you get more and more people
that don't mind.
Do you think people turn it into gentrification, or people notice that more people are moving into an area and they take advantage of it?
I think we've been, well, you've been in New York and New Orleans, but man, I think Columbus is just like, because Columbus is the only city I've been in where there's constant development. It's the only city that I've really been where there's constant development. So it's like North Linden, those areas are like, you know, ghetto or whatever like that. But in about 3, 4, 5 years, they're not gonna be, because they're constantly developing in there. Is that gentrification?
It's only gentrification if people that used to live there still can't afford to live there.
Yeah. Okay.
But a lot of the areas that's happening, at least here, you know, most of those people are getting pushed out, or they're
And I think that's a plan. I think that's the plan to push, you know, certain people out. I'm not.
That is what developers do when they see an area that they can cash in on. They do push people out, and then it becomes a gentrified area.
Yeah.
But if an area has, like, a bunch of new coffee shops and people can still afford to live there, then even though people might be like, oh, this area's gentrified, that's not what it is. It's just, you know, a buzzword, you know, that people like to use.
So, okay, is it, and I'm gonna, I know Ryan's answer, but is gentrification wrong?
Morally, it's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, Ryan, explain.
I mean, you're pushing out people that have had ties into the neighborhood probably much longer than you with money. I mean, if you can afford home prices in an area that other people can't afford, and it's only because people like you can afford it, you know, you're replacing, you know, an area's culture with your culture. You know what I mean?
I guess that's true.
You don't move to Columbus, move to North Linden, buying a house $20,000 over asking, and know what North Linden's about, right? You bring a piece of your culture with you, and you push out a person that could have been there.
But you're not pushing out anyone. The house is for sale. Someone wants to sell it.
I got
to
know.
No.
But you're splintering the culture by that action.
Damn it,
right. No, I'm saying...
I don't know how many of you guys have been to Harlem, but...
Yeah, I've been to Harlem.
Harlem has been gentrified.
Major, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I remember, like, growing up, people were like, oh, don't go to Harlem. I went because people told me not to. But over the years, I've seen Harlem get gentrified. You could still find a couple places around that area that are affordable, but it's really hard to get an apartment around Harlem. And that's gentrification. Now, the crime has dropped in that area. There's still crime, but the crime has dropped. So that's the question. Is gentrification a bad thing if it alleviates the crime in that area?
So, like, overall, crime can increase, too. Because the areas where crime is most prevalent is not actually in the heart of the poor neighborhoods. It's an adjacent to a much richer neighborhood.
Yeah.
So the largest proportion of crimes are, like, you know, the area around Bexley? That has a lot of crime in the area around, not in Bexley, right? Not necessarily, like, the east side of Columbus, but in the area around Bexley had a huge increase in crime in the last whatever years.
I remember door dashing near Bexley, and I was driving and I was like, man, Bexley's ghetto. And then I just drove into the street where it's like, you know, it's like nothing but brick. It's nice ass houses. And
Bexley,
like,
is weird like that.
I was,
it's
like,
man,
this is gonna be
shitty, and then really rich really fast.
You can almost, it's the same way. Like, in Whitehall and Reynoldsburg, too, you can almost tell exactly where the city line ends between, like, Bexley and Columbus. Like, you'll be driving down a road, and then, you know, where the potholes start, oh, that's the Columbus line. Like, you can almost tell exactly where it goes.
Bexley's, like, a weird thing because it does have its own culture that it's maintained.
Yes.
Right? And I think that's, like, a less harmful version of gentrification, but it is, absolutely.
So, to speak on that a little bit, growing up, like, in Whitehall, where I grew up, you know, it was never necessarily a bad city, but it's in that surrounding area of, like, Bexley. It definitely was not. Like, the surrounding areas, like, are not nice at all, but the mayor there and the government there, over the last, like, 10 years or so, there's been, I mean, full complexes taken down. They're redoing the parks. There's a YMCA. They're building businesses. They're helping promote local businesses. Like, they definitely have pushed some of the outskirts out, But, like, it's nicer, and there's more business, there's more money coming in. The few businesses that have been there from the start, like the bowling alley and different, like, places that have been there, you know, 50, 60 plus years, money's getting put back into, like, the things that have helped start it as well. So there's, like, I don't know. There's really good that can come out of it.
Jamal, I'm going to give you, go ahead and speak, and then Ben, if you want to have a last word.
I guess my real question, I mean, nobody has to answer it now, but I'm just saying, the real question is gentrification different now than it was in the past?
No. No. It's not.
Because people think that, people might look at an area and be like, oh man, this area is so gentrified.
I think if you build, well, yeah, it's affordable, then no, but if you build, they're building some complexes down, like, right on the outskirts of, what's that place that's called? I want to say hotspot. What's it called? It starts with an H. It's like a hood area in Columbus.
Oh, Hilltop.
Ugh. So they're building like
One thing someone told me,
I was like right before when I first moved into my old apartment, like I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go and find a hood and just hopefully like they develop in there, and I was buy a house there. And someone told me about Hilltop. And then someone told me, like, don't go there because they'll put a shot put in there. And they have a shot put in there. A shot put's when a gun goes off and it automatically goes to the police. A single
shot spotter.
Shot spotter, that's what it's called.
Well, shot put.
No, it's called shot put in Georgia, though. It's called shot put in Georgia. But they're building like these complexes over there. And I'm like, that place is going to get gentrified, I think. Because if you're building a complex over there, the people over there cannot afford that amount of money. I know people that are over there, they're paying like $600, $700 for rent.
Yeah, but
those are going to be like $1,300.
But that's the only way to lower housing prices, is to build more housing. There's a housing shortage. Prices are never going to go down unless you build more housing.
So the houses they're building, though, is not
but it
affordable
doesn't,
housing.
But it doesn't matter.
It does matter.
No, it doesn't matter if you're not building affordable housing.
Even
because
if
you're increasing the supply.
No,
overall.
If you build two houses that cost $700 or $1,400 to replace like four that cost $700, like it doesn't.
Well, so
you
all
can't.
The complexes and stuff like where I grew up. Those used to be like townhomes that were like $870 something to rent. The apartments and stuff that are like there now, the new ones, it's like $1,400.
Exactly, it doubles the cost of the price,
and it
doesn't matter if you build twice as many.
Are gone,
but they're
like,
not building twice as many. They're building like four times. They're building like 10 times as many units per what they're tearing down. What we're gaining is far outpacing what's being taken away.
So what
and
about the
drive...
poor people? What about the poor,
but,
the poor
yeah,
people?
Yeah, I think that's the shitty part, is what about the, you know,
there are people who cannot afford, there are families who
can't
afford
into a $1,400. Yeah.
Who grew up in Columbus and can't afford to still...
Not only that, I can afford $1,400 a month. I don't want to pay $1,400
yeah.
a month.
Oh,
to
I'm
live,
right there with you.
To live in a mediocre area. I don't want to do that. So, you know what I mean? Like, that to me, that doesn't wash down well, to be honest. Go ahead and have a final word, Ryan. We're gonna move on.
I don't have a final word.
You know what?
He said what he said.
Yeah, he said what he said. You know what? Gentrification sucks, and Ben...
Yeah.
Disestablishmentarianism. There. That's the last word.
Anyways, I don't have the real last word.
Spill it.
You're losing a culture. That's the thing, too.
Yeah.
That's the main issue, is that you are removing culture. And culture is something to be retained.
Ah, there you go.
I agree.
There you go. All right, the next topic is... It's Black History Month. In schools, they are teaching about transgender, LGBTQ, more than Black history. When we try to teach Black history about systematic racism, they shut it down. But it's okay to talk and have classes about gays and lesbians. Do black people deserve more during the month of Black History Month. And go ahead.
No, we should hear from the black guy.
You feel, babe.
No, I want to hear what the white people have to say first.
Well, it's about time someone asked us our opinion.
Oh, wow. Nope. I'm not going after that. You gotta go first.
No. Go ahead, Ben.
I was gonna say, go ahead. No, yeah. I'm not Ben. But I think it depends on the school as to who's teaching what. Because I think some schools are still really pushing out Black History Month and, like, trying to make it a really big deal because it is. And, like, have celebrations and making sure that their curriculum is highlighting black scientists and black musicians and people who...
So what I heard earlier today was a parent complained that they don't, like, when they try to teach about some of the bad things that have happened, parents are yelling, or white parents are yelling that they're teaching CRT. So the problem is, you know,
I think the problem is that parents don't actually know what that is.
Yeah.
And they're just throwing that out as a buzzword.
I do think people just think that if you teach systematic racism, they think it's CRT.
Well,
I
think now that systematic racism has been brought up so much that at least, I don't know, I think some people are trying to be more inclusive in their teachings and teach actual history. So, you know, you have to think kids take that home and recited in their words. They're not like, oh, here's how our teacher taught us today. It's, oh, we learned all these white people did this stuff and blah, blah, blah. So I'm sure that's like making some parents mad. But I agree with Jessica. I think it depends on the school. Because like where I went to school, it was a big deal. The whole month, all the lessons were like, you know, black authors, black musicians. You know, we had different students like share about their backgrounds and like their culture.
Was your school majority black or was it half? What was it?
I mean, it was pretty mixed. It was probably half and half. I mean, I don't know. We had a lot of Asian people. My school's really inclusive. It was very mixed. It wasn't like majority white.
Diverse.
No. Yeah.
Okay. Because they didn't do that in our school. And I was in a black school.
I also think that whatever age these parents are, like, that also depends on how their kids are interpreting what they're learning from their teachers. Because
I think we had this conversation.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. It goes back to that conversation.
Just to go back real quick, what age did you feel was appropriate for them to talk about
systematic
racism?
What was it? Did we say, like, bring it up and, like...
I think you guys said real, real young, and I was like, whoa.
Like, I said bring it up, you know, in bits and pieces along the way. Like, you know, a little bit in fifth grade, a little bit in middle school, more intensely in high school, like... Bring it up so they can digest it.
Yeah, bring it
apart.
It's
not, you know, shocking.
Yeah.
But it has to be done in a way that they can understand.
Yeah.
It.
Like, I would say chattel slavery, like, you can start introducing that probably about 12. That's probably a good age.
Middle school.
Yeah, like.
But you wouldn't want to tell that to, like, a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
And then have them go home.
Ben wants to say something.
No. I don't have much to say. I would like to talk about a different part of the commenter's comment, so I'll save that till after this is done.
Okay. This is done. Go ahead.
Okay, like, the second half of this comment, like, they're talking about gays and lesbians and transgender people. They're not in schools. They're really not. Like,
what's not?
The commenter's saying, like, they're talking about, like, LGBT issues, but they aren't talking about black people. But the schools that aren't talking about black people are not talking about LGBT issues. There's a lot of overlap there.
Some are bringing them up more.
Yeah, they're definitely bringing them up.
Sure. No. But what I'm saying is, if a school is deliberately not talking about black history, they're also deliberately not talking about LGBT issues.
True.
There's a lot of overlap in those schools.
I think that there may be schools that are bringing up both. I recently learned a couple of names of famous black people who were also LGBTQ+, right? And like, their influences in terms of, like, writing and stuff like that, based on what some students have shared with me. So, like, I think that, like, it could just be that whoever's making this comment isn't connecting it
Well, like,
I don't know. Or it could be that...
Like, to me,
it's only talking about part of their story.
Cool. Like, right now in Florida, there's a law being pushed that would basically require parent or teachers to out students to their parents.
What?
And I'm serious. And they were pushing an amendment that would require parents to out students that came out at school, even if the teachers suspected that that would result in abuse from the parents. So
the fuck are you reading that?
Yeah,
it was just in the news today.
What news?
Yahoo.
Yeah,
I'm serious. Look it up. It's they're so, but like to the original commenter, like just because you're seeing all this news about like anti
fucking Jessica,
just because you see all this news about like schools pushing like anti CRT stuff doesn't mean they're all hunky dory and happily teaching
about
LGBT.
But just like Jessica said, just because someone's saying they have an issue with CRT doesn't mean that
people
are teaching is CRT.
But what I'm saying is just because you're seeing all the anti-CRT stuff in the news doesn't mean there also isn't a bunch of anti-LGBT stuff going on at the same time.
In those districts.
In those districts,
I feel like
there's a lot of overlap. It's just the flavor of the month is anti-CRT.
Go ahead, Ryan.
I didn't have a lot of, I guess, education about the gays in school. I mean, we did kind of say thing for everybody to know. I went to a majorly black school, probably 85% black plus, and we had Black History Month. Same thing was like whole month. The curriculum was centered on black people, except for math class. So, but I didn't hear anything about LGBT at all. A lot of that stuff that I've learned.
Yeah, I think it's something that just started recently within five years.
That's recent too, because that's a new, that's
part of our society. Everybody hated gays in my school.
Wow.
So I mean,
he's from Atlanta.
Everybody?
Mine too, honestly. I mean, can we talk about how homophobic black people are, or what?
Let's go.
Absolutely.
Gay people are. I mean, black people are probably the most homophobic. I think black people are the most homophobic and Mexicans are the most racist.
Well, I was talking to you about that documentary, that Beyond Beats and Rhymes documentary a while ago.
Yeah.
And there was that scene where it was like Busta Rhymes and oh god, what's his name? Who had Deaf Poetry.
Russell Simmons?
Russell Simmons. And like he was talking to, he brought up the subject of gays and hip-hop and R&B, and they were like, I don't want to talk about that. I don't agree with that lifestyle.
Who, Busta said that?
Yeah, Busta and Russell Simmons.
Yeah, see, you know what's crazy is that, like, I don't think they're, like, a gay person in rap music, this is kind of going off topic. But, like, yeah, black people and gay people are, I mean, when it comes to black people, I mean, I think they're okay now. But back then, in my school, black people hated gay people.
How much hate Lil Nas X gets, even by his own fans, is like...
Yeah, it's still not okay.
Dude.
I don't know, I think it's
It's
okay.
Probably better, but like, not... I wouldn't say it's okay.
It depends, right? I mean, and it's evolving. Like, kids have conversations about sexuality, like, that I overhear all the time.
How old are these kids?
High school.
Oh, got you.
Kids talk about that shit in middle school, too, though, but, like, they do. Because it's, like, just raging hormones at that point.
Kids get the real education when they're riding the school bus.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that
means. Because you learn so much of, like, this the outside stuff that, the teachers won't tell you. Overhearing conversations on the school bus. Come on, you've never had that. You didn't have that experience growing up.
Kids talk. Yeah. I mean, kids talk, but not just on the school bus. Field day, recess, behind the corner where the teacher ain't looking.
They can talk in front of teachers.
No, not mine. We have black teachers.
Kids
they don't
definitely
play.
Think they're invincible,
they
and
think
nobody,
nobody
hears
can
them.
Hear anything that they're saying ever.
It's kind of funny.
All right, guys. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. We're gonna come right back. Thank you guys.
Sure. Awkward Dreadhead is brought to you today by Manscaped. Manscaped is offering 10% off of your first order with email sign up. Go to www.manscaped.com and use discount code 330MANSCAPED. Don't forget the D. Expiration is March 30th. When you trim the hedges, the tree stands taller. Manscaped. The shave the ladies crave.
No, you don't go under the blanket. It's just me. All right, wait. What's up, guys? It's the Opera Dread. And we got Ryan here.
What's up?
We got Jessica.
Hello.
We got Jamoon.
So.
We got Chelsea.
Hello.
Oh, she talked in the mic. Great job. Babe, give me a high five. Not right now. I'll do it later. Blade. All right.
So rude.
Wow.
She's
going to leave her hanging like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. What's up, guys? So, we're going to read some comments. And you know what? No, we're not going to read comments. We are going to read comment questions, and we're going to answer them. How you feel about that?
Comment question.
Let's get after it.
All right. So, the first one is, keeping with the men's emotion, topic, and the comment Ryan made, is violence or physical altercation ever okay? Oh, now, if you guys want to think, I'll go ahead and say something real quick before you know we move forward. I personally don't advocate for violence. I don't like violence. I left Georgia because of violence, you know what I mean? But in that same stretch, I do agree that there are sometimes it comes to a violent head. If someone's accosting another person to a point where it goes to that, I feel like it can go to that. If someone was accosting Chelsea or, physically doing something, without question, probably if they, I won't only ask, I might say, who the fuck you think you are, and then something might happen, but there, you know, I would immediately, like, step in and probably put hands on that person. Same thing goes for Michaela, Tamika, Justine. I remember when we were at that one club, and we were with me, you, and Tamika, and that one guy came up to Tamika, you know, saying some crazy shit out the fucking blue, and I stepped in fucking immediately. You know what I mean? So, personally, that's just my opinion. Like I said, I don't advocate for violence. I wish we all could, like, go through life and not even have to deal with violence, but sometimes I feel like it goes to a head. But Ryan, since this is about what you said, you can go ahead.
I don't wanna. Dude, it's just like, you can obviously come up with some sort of hypothetical that is like, yeah, totally, I would be the dude to ask. You know what I mean? But like, 99.9% of situations, you're never going to run into that if you take proper precautions to not escalate.
What's taking proper precautions? I love to hear that.
Also, it's that fight or flight thing. Like, when something happens, a lot of people don't know what they're going to do. They can say what they're going to do all they want, but until shit happens, you don't know how people are going to react.
Okay.
The thing is, you never really have to get to the shit happens. Like, you never, at least not here, specifically.
I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. There's never, the only time a guy ever stepped to me on some, like, wanting to be physical was, like, another black guy, and he was small as shit. You know what I mean? So, I've never, but in here, I totally agree with you. In Columbus, that's never fucking happened to me. I don't have to worry about that shit whatsoever. I'm probably rusty at fighting because of it.
And it's weird because there are like some rough neighborhoods in Columbus, but I feel and like
no.
there's gun violence in Columbus.
Oh, all the time. There's gun violence everywhere.
Yeah, but it's like in these pockets. It's in these pockets. And
okay, what are you gonna do against a gun? Like that's the thing, right? Like if somebody's robbing you and they have a gun, you're not gonna punch a dude in the face because you're dead. Yeah. You know, you're not faster than a bullet.
Most people have a gun as a threat, and I feel like a lot of people, when it comes to show, they're not going to pull
Wait. Let's
You're saying you're more badass than a gun, dude.
No,
I'm not saying that.
We should pick a gun out of it. That's kind of stretching it.
That's what I mean. That's like a hypothetical that obviously you can make the case for. This person looked like they're going to rape me in my booty hole, and I...
Let me ask you a question. If, let's say you were dating someone and someone was accosting them, would you...
Like, what do you mean accosting? If they're being at a bar and they're...
Accosting someone.
Right,
someone.
But wait, what is your idea?
Your hands... I mean, to both. Me... To me, accosting means, like, you're putting hands on someone.
No, accosting is verbally attacking someone. Now, listen, me personally, I think if someone's verbally attacking someone and accosting them constantly, to me, that's someone's attacking me.
Okay, listen.
Go ahead, though.
If you're at a bar, okay, like, you in the situation, you're at a bar, some dude's coming up to your chick and just being way too aggressive, like, trying to put their hands, or just, like, really getting after them, just leave. I mean, like, literally, that's the situation where it's very easily to avoid physical violence, right? Go somewhere else. You know what I mean? They follow you.
Is there anything you would fight for, Ryan?
Yeah, if I'm in imminent physical danger. But that's not imminent physical danger. That's escalation if you fight back into them, right? As a person who is both a concealed carry owner and was very close to a black belt in Taekwondo, I was always taught that to de-escalate the situation rather than escalate. Right.
No, I agree with that, but I also kind of think...
So it's like defensive violence is okay when necessary, but there's never really a reason to attack someone.
There's very, very hardly a need for that. And it's escalating tensions.
I think you've been living in Columbus too long.
What do you mean, dude?
I feel
I've been jumped, dude. I have fought. I've got my ass beat before, right? But... That happened like twice, and I live in a bad neighborhood. Okay?
I feel like this is not disrespect to you or anybody else. I do kind of feel like if you don't have something that you would fight for, I feel like that's just you're really just kind of like a wimp, and you're kind of hiding behind that just to say like, oh yeah, it's not right to fight or anything.
I'd just rather not catch a charge, because if I have my gun on me,
okay,
and I'm fighting someone,
I mean, that's fair.
There's a very present danger that someone's gonna die. Okay, that's why
you should not escalate.
That's a self-defense thing.
It's self-defense. No, it's self-defense is de-escalating the situation, removing yourself from the situation, not actually resorting to violence. Right. Also, nobody thinks about this, but there have been very frequent issues and accidents. Somebody gets a punch,
they land
the wrong way,
they die. Yeah.
I'm not trying to catch a charge. Even if I was justified. Like, that's just...
I understand. All I'm saying is that, you know, if anybody was to put... there's things to fight for. You know what I mean? There's things to fight for.
Because
some girl is
getting hit on way too hard at a bar, that's not a
reason. It could be any... Yeah. Hell yeah.
When I first started dating her, my job is
to protect her.
If they're stalking you, if they're following you around, it may come to that situation. If you're removing yourself from the situation, that's always should be your first go-to, is to get away from the fucking weirdo, right? But...
Yeah, but if the weirdo is accosting your friend, you're just gonna be like, well, let's see how this plays out.
I'm gonna be like, let's get the fuck out of here, get away from this person.
Let me just say this too. There have been plenty of times when hands have been put on someone and that person's behavior changes really quick.
Oh yeah.
That their behavior changes really, really quick. And you might not see any point in it. I understand. But to me, that is like the excuse that someone wants to give because they want to, not you particularly, but people want to go around and be able to talk crazy to other people without any type of consequences happening.
What do you mean?
I never
start shit like that.
I'm not saying you.
People,
I said not you.
People have big egos.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when they have some drinks in them and they like see a situation, some people try to take advantage of it and see how far they can take it. And sometimes
you have
to stop people.
You know what? You were there. I'm not going to mention this person's name. I'm glad most of the men are talking about this. But you were there at Union at Guys Night. You know what I'm talking about? We went from Seesaw to union, mm-hmm. and there was an altercation that happened between me and the individual.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you were wrong.
Okay, how was I wrong?
Because you were getting so pissed for no reason. There's no reason to be that mad.
Really? Someone's cop. You know what's fucking funny about that? When he was talking, why didn't you open your fucking mouth and say, hey, stop fucking bothering him?
Because it's not my business.
Oh, it's not your business.
You should be able to communicate with him to say.
How many times did I say, don't, let's fucking drop it?
A bunch of times.
But I didn't communicate, right? I didn't communicate.
Yeah, but you weren't listening. Part of communication is actually listening to his
no, brush. I don't need to listen to it. Drop the situation. We are having fun. Don't bring a fucked up situation because you have an issue with
that. That was an instance of you escalating it, right? You were yelling harder and harder and harder.
Because he kept talking about it.
That's escalation. You have the mindset of escalation. I have the mindset of de-escalation. That's just
so. Different. So quickly, what would you have done?
I would have just not responded to him.
If he would have kept talking, what would you have done?
I would have left.
You would have left, like I did, right?
Yeah, you eventually did, but you sat there and argued.
Because I came out there to hang out with everybody. I didn't come out there to argue about that shit. So I wanted to stay there and continue, but at the same time, I wasn't going to keep being accosted by this person, so I up and left. Okay. I shouldn't have had to leave.
He never raised his voice at you until you start raising your voice at him.
First off, he didn't raise his voice. He knew better than that.
So he was getting agitated.
Nobody knows except the two of you what the fuck happened.
You were ready to fight him for that. That's crazy.
But here's the thing. I don't know what happened at Guy's Night, obviously, but in that specific situation, that conversation had been had for months. His side was heard. His side was listened
What's
to.
What's funny?
He was fully listened to and heard, and they had a conversation. They worked it out, and he was asked, basically told, hey, this is just how I feel. You know, we're not seeing the same side, so please let's just drop it. If you want to hang out, just don't bring it up. You know what I mean? There's a time and place. We talked. We see things differently. Let it go. And he never let it go. He thought bringing it up in public was going to rally people behind him and make Charles change his mind.
Why didn't you say something like that? Why didn't you call him
Wait. So how many times?
I don't know the context behind the conversation.
It doesn't matter. You're basically saying that this person could continue to accost someone.
Just leave, dude. You did the right thing. You literally eventually did the right thing and just did
it. I shouldn't have to leave.
Okay, then tell him to leave, right?
Okay.
I mean, like, that's, like, the only... There was no reason to fight about something as dumb as that, right? Like, that was actually... Like,
I just think it's interesting how someone has an issue with some with that, but you won't step in and say,
because
hey,
it's not my business, dude. Okay. I don't step foot in other people's business unless I'm asked to.
But you judge it.
Yeah, hell yeah. I judge everything. Okay. Everybody. What?
Okay.
Everybody makes judgments.
I guess it makes sense. I guess it makes sense to judge a situation, but you won't step in and say, hey, you need to stop doing it. Because you didn't stop saying anything. You didn't say anything.
I thought you were wrong. So
exactly. That's what I'm saying. You think I'm wrong, but at the same time, you wouldn't think he was wrong.
The next day when you were less drunk and more level-headed. I asked you about if you were cool. And you just kind of blew it off, and I'm like, all right, that's it. I didn't... Because he talked to me afterwards about it when you left. And he was like, am I wrong here? I'm like, I don't know about it. You know, I don't want to stick my nose in it too much. I'll text him about it, you know, because he asked me to. And that was it, right? But that's not that. Like, I don't want to put myself in other people's business when I don't know the context. Right?
I probably shouldn't even bring it up because there's not a lot of context for the listeners. But
I think that's a situation I understand what you're talking about. You know what I mean? Like, it was like an escalating tensions type of deal. But you know, you did eventually do the right thing, in my opinion, to just leave when obviously the situation came to the point where he was not listening to anything you were saying. You know what I mean? Like, he was getting to the point where he was annoying too. You know what I mean? It was kind of weird how he didn't drop it eventually, but like, I just don't think that's something to fight about. Like, there's no reason to shove, no reason to punch.
And I didn't.
Yeah, great. That's absolutely great.
You know what I mean? I only brought that up because you were there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, like, since we were kind of talking about something like that, just popped in my head. Okay.
So, would you have wanted to punch him?
Oh, yeah.
No.
No. See, that's not how my mind works. The thing is, and I'm not trying to be funny, but a lot of people to me in Columbus are not ready for something like that. Like, even people who box, Mike Tyson said something that's very fucking true. Everybody thinks they're tough until they get hit in the face. Believe me, when you get hit in the face, a lot of things just like crash into your head, like when you're getting hit in the face. Especially with someone who knows how to like fight. So, you know, when you know, he's not someone that I would have did that with or whatever like that. You know, I don't think there's anybody in Columbus. Columbus is not that type of place. But if we're in Atlanta, that happened, there would have been a fight, 100%.
So, like,
last word, Ryan.
I'm just going to say, my view is, if that really bothered you that much that you want to get to the point where you were going to punch him, you know what I mean? Why are you friends with him? You know what I mean? Like, why don't you just cut off communications? You know what I mean? Why don't you...
The funny thing is, I wanted to, and I should have. I wanted to, I should have, but at the same point, it looks weird because it's a friend group. And if it's like, oh, you just X'd him out like that, that situation gave me the excuse to cut all ties. That specific situation. I was waiting for something like that, not at guys night, because we were all having fun. Yeah, you know what I mean? Time. And I hadn't seen you for a while. I hadn't seen Andrew. I barely had hung out with Nick. I wanted to hang out. I did not want to, like, just up and leave. So, you know, a situation like that, like, I mean, you know, I'm glad, you know, it kind of went the way it would, to be honest, because I wanted to cut ties from the get-go. But
we're going to move on.
We did never get an opinion by the women, though, so.
Well, you know what? Sorry. Jessica, go ahead and give your opinion, and then Chelsea, give your opinion.
I think violence is wrong. No, I think you never. There's never a reason to have physical altercation unless you're defending yourself. I agree with Ryan. You take yourself out of the situation, or you find a way to de-escalate. But anything that is gonna happen, like, I don't think there's a reason to be the one to pull the first punch.
Throw.
So I've
been. You pull your punches.
You throw your punches.
Oh my god.
So I've only.
I'm really tired.
In two fights in my whole life. The first one was this.
Wait. No. We don't know. We want to know your opinion on fighting.
I think that on there should never patient. Start it. But like, if you have to defend yourself. So my example, the first fight I ever was in, this kid just wouldn't get out of my face. And I'm like, leave me alone. Please step away from me. He gets my face. He pushes me. My dad taught me growing up. My mom taught me growing up, you never fight. There's never a reason. You walk away, call an adult, you know, all those things. My dad said, you give them two chances to not be in your face and one chance to touch you and you can start swinging. So the first one, this kid's in my face, pushing me. So I finally swing back on him. The second... I was actually at youth group, and this kid who was like...
Church camp?
We were just at, like, youth group. It was, like, a Wednesday night, whatever. This kid's, like, 3 years older than me, and he's just making fun of everybody, being an asshole, just, being a jerk, following me and my friends around, just not paying, like, just kept saying stuff, and I was like, dude, leave. Like, go away. You're fucking annoying. I obviously didn't say the F word, but I was like, you're annoying. Go away, blah, 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 blah. He would not go away. And I said something smart to him, and he goes, oh, that's why your mom's a fat bitch. And I blacked out. It took a fucking 300-pound man to get me over this guy. I just started swinging because you're not about to talk about my mom, and you were really fucking annoying.
Okay.
So
your opinion on fighting?
I just think that sometimes you have to hit somebody in the face.
How old were you when this happened?
Like 15.
Okay.
Sometimes you gotta hit somebody in the face.
Ryan, let's say I came. No, not me. Let me not use me because that's not gonna happen. What if someone comes into your face and they're like, what you gonna do? Pushes you. What you gonna do? I'll be in a different situation. But
I would never talk to you, honestly. If you shoved me like that, I would never talk to you again. Like,
no, I'm talking about someone else. Someone comes at you that they're pushing you.
I've had that happen to come at me at a bar. You walk the fuck away. You're not turning your back all the way, because if they try to sucker punch you, you want to be able to fight back. But, I mean, like, you give them chances to back up. You know what I mean? Like, if they're in your face, go get a fucking bouncer if you're at a bar, dude. Like, that's the reason they're there. Because they're big-ass motherfuckers that throw out drug motherfuckers are getting too rowdy.
So,
like,
wait.
That's not a thing.
So,
bouncers are there.
Yeah, but excuse me, sir. This guy's harassing me. That's not going to happen.
Me and my friends have done that.
Yeah, but
you're encouraging violence. You just don't want to be the participant.
Hey, sir,
can you take care of
that's his job. They have authority. You have zero authority in that situation.
You'll get thrown out.
You have only your bodily autonomy. If they hit you, yeah, okay, they hit you, then it's on. But, like, literally, like...
Oh, wait. If someone hits you...
I'm not gonna let someone hit me.
Oh, then, hell yeah. Well, I'm gonna wait for my motherfucker to hit me then.
That's what we all agree.
So someone pushes you, no. If they punch you, yes.
Dude, okay, there's definitely a difference between a wimpy-ass shove and somebody trying to beat your ass.
I'm not talking... No. I'm talking about a punch. I'm not talking about, like, they're trying to, like...
They don't say shove when you mean punch.
The same thing. If someone shoves you...
A shove is somebody's going like this on your chest, dude.
If someone shoves you, yes.
Are you fighting, yes or no?
You're literally making it so black and white. It depends on the context. It's gray, dude. If somebody's literally shoves you to the ground they're like standing over you, pulling a punch.
Someone pushes you, they come into your face, they push you again. Is it on, yes or no?
Dude, like, I can leave that situation.
Okay.
I can leave that situation.
So if someone walks up to you, pushes you, then punches you, is it on?
Yeah, dude.
That's all I wanted to know.
Okay, you're just literally making it so black and white, but you make it sound like you're the aggressor in these situations. Like, you literally are like, don't talk to me, I'll beat your ass type deal.
That's where I'm getting at, because I'm trying to see what level that you would start, that you would, like, you know, say, fuck it, I'm gonna fight. That's what I'm trying to see.
He needs to defend himself.
I would say ignoring the person works probably about 80% of the time. If they can't ignore them, walking away works another 15% of the time. And that 5% of the time where they're fucking hounding you, pushing you, you know, about to knock you on the ground, then that's a fight, right? Like, there's definitely a gradient to it.
Man,
like,
I think what Charles
last is word, trying, last word, Jamal.
What Charles is trying to get at is if you had a girl with you and some dude was being an aggressor towards your girl, I think he's trying to figure out what you would do in that situation.
I'd end it, dude. I'd just kill him.
No, you wouldn't. No, he wouldn't. That's podcast talk.
You know what? You know what my dad taught me? He's like, don't get into a fight with somebody, but come back with a baseball bat and a few friends. Okay? So, that's exactly what he told me.
My dad said, if you ever jump someone, I disown you. You fight them with your fist.
You need to fight fair, dude. Fuck that.
I have to watch out for you, people
this
like you.
This is a very long segment.
Over. I don't even know that we got to any point. We're just